am bringing you today is the old traditional moldy, slime method. We're going to do a lot of hands-on sorts of things. I'll give you a little brief introduction, and then I want to get working right away. And then there's a second session tomorrow, which will cover things more in depth and more like complicated literature. Today we're going to stick with good old Kyrie 11 and some solfege. So, chronomy is an interesting word. It's obviously a Greek word, but I don't know if you know too much about this word's use outside of the old Salem method and it's used by especially Makarov. But chronomy is it just means basically moving of the hands in a way to indicate music. So it's really interesting that even like the ancient Egyptians and the Jewish practices have a type of chronomy where the hands are moved to indicate sometimes pitch, rhythm, and all sorts of other musical details. Obviously, this is coming from a background where music is an oral art and not necessarily a written one. So what the director's hands show is basically reminding people of music that they already know, but with interpretive details and other musical details to help them all stay together. There's still some spots in here, some chairs, if you'd like a chair. One back there, and we can separate some of those chairs back there. And so I wanted to give a quote from Dom Makarov, whose work is the basis of what we think of today as the old Salem method. But it's interesting to note that Makarov really, he published Le Nombre Musical Grégorien in 1908, and then a second edition, or second volume in 1922. But what he was building on was all of the 19th century work that had happened at Salem, both with the monks of Salem and other visiting chant scholars that would come and work with the chant there. And basically they were trying to revive practice, so there was a study of the manuscripts, and from that arose a way of directing, a way of understanding the chant that made it practical to implement on a daily basis. But Makarov himself builds on all of that. It didn't just appear. And also, Makarov didn't sit down and, like at the beginning of his chant scholarship, write these rules of the old Salem method or whatnot. He, in fact, didn't write Le Nombre Musical Grégorien until about 10 or 20 years after he had been using it on a daily basis where he was directing scholas and working with other groups. So what you get in Makarov's method is really the fruit of decades of his own personal experience, and as well as the experience of chant scholars and those in the paleography at Salem. So let's start with a quote here from Makarov. "The ruling idea of the Gregorian restoration at Salem has always been to return to the oldest tradition, alike in rhythm and in melody. And if there is a rhythmical theory peculiar to this school, setting out to complete or interpret the positive indications supplied by the manuscripts, this theory only claims to recognize and define more precisely the objective rhythm which naturally arises out of the melody itself." Spoken like a true Aristotelian. And if you read Makarov's Le Nombre Musical Grégorien, you see that he has like a very categorical approach to how he outlines rhythm. "The Salem theory, so-called, is thus seen to be nothing else than a return to antiquity in order to understand and interpret the chant. And this is not in any arbitrary or personal fashion, but in strict accordance with the melody as it was composed and crystallized in the manuscripts which have come down to us." So he's claiming all authority from the manuscripts themselves. And well, this is up for discussion and debate. Dr. Ed Schaefer and I have done some fun work over the last year or so, kind of going back and forth between semiology and Old Salem, and what we've really discovered is that we have way more in common than we would like anyone to think. I had the experience of studying at Salem back in 2009 or 10 with Dom Saunier, and had the opportunity to kind of push him on some questions about what he thought about Maquereau, and I really pushed him. He broke down and admitted that what Maquereau had done was good work. I'll give that just to back up what Maquereau is saying here. So the underlying principles of the Old Salem method, we're going to just go through that because I'm assuming that you probably have some familiarity with it, but if it's been a while or you are kind of new to it, I just want you to all be on the same page. The underlying principles is that it's a free rhythm that is non-menstrual. It's really interesting to go and look through different ways of menstrualizing Gregorian chant. You know, anything based on or from like the rhythmic modes of Notre Dame to when a note has a rod, it's twice as much as a non-rodded note, and that's twice as much as a diamond note. There's all sorts of different ways of making the chant rhythmic. But this approach rests on the assumption that each note is of equal value, more or less. And probably what you know of the Old Salem method is the grouping of twos and threes. But what I would like to, if you walk away with one thing from this presentation, what I would like to emphasize in tomorrow's session is that it's more than that. It's not just the twos and threes level. And if you're staying there, you're not getting the full musicality that's possible within the Old Salem method. And Maquereau talks about something called the greater rhythm, which is looking at the bigger grammatical structures, the bigger melodic gestures, grouping things in bigger and bigger sorts of groups. And that's all inherent in the Old Salem method. This method also presumes the use of the Salem's rhythmic notation, the ictus, epistema, dot, etc. Okay, so do you have any writing utensils? I hope that there are enough to go around. To review, we're going to look at Kyrie 11 and place all the ictuses in it so that you know exactly how it's counted according to the Old Salem school. Does anyone have extra pencils for those who do not have pencils? Raise your hand if you need a pencil and don't have one. A couple back there. Any other extras? Oh, thank you. Great. Okay. So, rules for placing the ictus. This is a hierarchical list. You go through the list until everything is divided into twos and threes. So let's look at this. You start first with the ones that are marked, the vertical epistemas that are marked, those ictuses. So, where do you see any of those in this Kyrie 11? Lei in eleison. Right, that's really the only one, right? So, the next level we look at is long notes. And so that means dotted notes, the first note of a tristropha or distropha, a praesus, which I'll explain in a moment, the first note under a horizontal epistema. So, just looking at the very beginning, where is the very first long note that you see? A of Kyrie. You have dots on each of those notes in the clevis. Right. So what you're going to do with your pencil is, so you got this clevis here. It looks like that. You're going to place an ictus here and an ictus there. Where else do we see long notes? Son at the very end. So again, you have it. Unless the stem is really long, it's best to generally put the ictus underneath. Okay. So go ahead and go through. We don't have any horizontal epistemas at all, so that doesn't apply here. Really, our long notes in this piece are the dotted notes. So go through, find all the dotted notes, plop in an ictus. Mm-hmm.
strict view from this.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you weren't. All right, so once you've got that, rule number three is the first note of a noom. So right at the beginning, we have a pedatus, right? So you're going to mark the pedatus. You're going to mark it like that. Then you've got a clevis. First note of a noom. Now between rules two and three, we have, you'll see all of Kyrie marked up, right? So you have 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Remember the dot adds a second beat. Second beat. We'll talk more about that later. Okay. So if we were to count sing the very first Kyrie, let's go ahead and do that. Just singing it on 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
One more time, ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Good. The next noom is called what? This is like Gregorian noom quiz time.
Isolated.
No. Scandicus. Right. It doesn't have a vertical epicema in it. So it looks kind of like a punctum attached to a pedatus, but it's its own noom. It's a scandicus. So this is the beginning of the noom. So we put the ictus there. Then, where's the beginning of the next noom? You know that it has to be somewhere now. Where's that? The very top note, right, exactly. You have a climacus. Right, so here you could put the ictus either above or below, whatever is easiest for you to see. And then you have another climacus. And then you have a marked ictus, which is obviously already marked, and then a dotted note, which you already marked as well. So, if you were to count the space between each of the ictuses now, you would see that it's completely divided up into twos and threes, right? So let's count sing the whole first Kyrie. Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Good. Now, while you're not waving your arms, it's a good time to remember some good vocal things. When you are going down, everyone is like, whoa. So, one other thing to notice, in addition to your posture, is that you have to have a good breath support in that descending line, right? Because ascending lines always go flat, and it went a little bit flat that time. Can we try it one more time with your best vocal technique? Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Good. So now let's do the Christe real quick. Because you know in Kyrie 11 that all the Ele songs are the same, right? So you can go through quickly marking all the Ele songs with the same ictuses. Obviously, if you've been doing this for a while, you know just looking at it where the ictuses fall, especially on something like this that's a little bit similar or simpler. But let's together look at Christe. So if we look at Christe, we have a clevis at the beginning that we mark, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have a dotted virga, which we already had something on because it's a dotted note, right? Then we have, I forget what this is called, pedatus recipinus or something like that. Pedatus combined with a like climacus sort of thing. I forget the like official like fused noom name for that. So after the dotted note, you have that pedatus looking thing with the rhombic note, right? Mm-hmm. That obviously has to be a group of three because then after that you have a marked ictus. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's sing Christe, K count singing. And also what I would like you to do is just some sort of upward moving snap on the ictus.
One, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Good, let's do it again. Let's get the rhythm in our bodies. It'll be easier when we're standing, but make sure you sit up straight. That helps a lot too. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Good. Now, the only thing that we really have to look at is the very final Kyrie. We have a very clear breakdown into individual neumes there, right? We have the torkelis at the beginning, so there's an ictus on the first note of that. The pedatus on ri also gets an ictus. We already marked the long note. Two long notes, in fact. Then you have that pedatus followed by the diamond-shaped note again, like we had. That will be marked the exact same way, so it's the exact same melodic pattern. Are there any questions so far? Yes. Yeah, you know.
Can we get? Do you want me to go make copies?
Ah, that would be great. Does anyone? Could anyone volunteer there? Thank you very much. Yeah. If you want to take his and go make copies. How many copies do we need? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
20.
Yeah. Okay. So, are there any questions so far? Do you have everything marked in? Okay. Because it's really important when you're doing this that you really understand it as a director. If you don't really understand it, there is no chance for your choir to understand it. And now, this doesn't mean that your choronomy has to be perfect when you're standing up in front of a group. If you have confidence in singing it, you have confidence in where the ictus is, you will be able to hold a group together, even if sometimes you're like, oh, is my hand go this way or that way? And it's a little bit like this, okay? But if you have confidence in these sorts of things, you'll be able to lead a group. So let's look at that very final Kyrie, and let's, again, use an upward snap. I don't want you to think of the ictus as a Germanic or Teutonic accent, or, you know, like no Bierstein swinging in here, okay? But it's all upward. Think of your friends, where every syllable is the same amount, okay?
One, two, three. One, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Keep going.
One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Good. Again, always keep a good focus in your tone, and just because the line descends doesn't mean you get to use less breath. Always a strong breath. One more time in that last Kyrie. Ready?
One, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Good. Now, if you're working with a beginning scholar, you might be thrilled that they could do something like that. You know, sing through this, the pitches confidently and understand the rhythm. But that's not where you stop. Because right now it just sounds very correct, and we're going for musical. So let's take the next step. So on the next page, you'll see that I have given you the answer key. You did all that work for nothing. Okay. So go ahead and just briefly compare it with yours, and then move your stuff around, because now you're going to stand up. We're going to start conducting. Okay, so I'm going to face this way, not because I don't like looking at you, but because I don't want you to get confused about which direction your hand goes. Although, those of you on this facing me, I hope that you have a good sense of mirror direction. Okay, so what we're going to do, why don't you go ahead and put your sheets down for right now. You're not going to need it. We're going to get your feet in a good position. You want your left foot slightly in front of your right foot. So that if you lean forward, you can go up on your toes or back on your heels and you won't fall over. Okay? You might even have it feet shoulder width apart, just like a good singing. Even it might feel a little bit like, you know, He-Man-ish or something that you're not used to, but you don't want to fall over. So let's try this with just our right hand first. You want your hand out. You're going to have about 115 degree angle in your right hand. Okay, no right angles and no zombie arms. Somewhere in between. Okay, your palm is always going to be facing down, and your hand is higher than your elbow. Okay, you also you want a lot of give in your wrist and your fingers too. Okay. And if you have to think of the beat being in any particular part of your hand, think of it, I think of it like right here on this leading edge of my second finger, okay? And now before we get to the actual gesture, what I want you to do is imagine that you are in that awesome swimming pool out on the balcony out here, okay? And you're moving your hand through water. So we're just gonna go back and forth, and you have to have a little bit of resistance there. And you notice when my hand goes to the left, my arm goes to the left, my hand goes to the right, because that's what happens when you're moving against resistance. And when you move the other way, your arm goes to the right, your hand goes to the left. So you want that sense of give. Because if your hand feels some sort of tension in it, that's you don't want it to be really tense, because that affects your singers negatively. But if it has a good amount of tension, a good amount of resistance, that's how you encourage good breath support from your singers. Because if your hands are just kind of like this, you're not going to be encouraging any engagement of the diaphragm. So the basic chironomic gesture is a figure eight, like you had on that handout, okay? So this position right here is the middle of the figure eight, okay? So now we're going to go a loop down on the bottom and up, and the right hand loop back up. And as you get more used to that, imagine it going through water. Remember, your hand is always slightly higher than your elbow, and your palm is always facing down. Don't do this.
Just did that.
Okay? Good. Now, in order to get the musicianship, what's really awesome about this, you're going to experience it when we first sing the Kyrie 11. With the chironomy, is that it automatically engages a sense of crescendo and decrescendo, because what you're gonna do is when you come across your body, that's more intense position, right? And what you're gonna do is you're gonna go slightly up onto your toes, okay? So you go up on your toes and then back on your heels. Up on your toes, back on your heels. Toes, heels. Energy and rest. Energy and rest. Make sure you have some give in your wrist. And always keep that nice angle in your elbow. Don't totally straighten it out or make it too hooked. Okay? And there are words, more Greek words, well, actually, no, sorry, French words, that Maquereau uses for this. And this is élan. Et repos. Élan. Et repos. But I will give you the Greek as well, which is easier to say. Arsis thesis. Arsis thesis. Palm facing down. Thesis. Arsis thesis. Now, let's try the two-handed thing, just to see if you can do it. Now, don't hit anyone, okay? But it's nice to see it in mirror action. So your mirror is going to be like this, right? Okay. Up on your toes and relax. Arsis. 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 Now you notice the arsis loop is bigger than the thesis loop in my gesture. Thesis. Arsis. Thesis. So if I were to draw it, it really looks more like, is there an eraser?
No, there's
no. Improvisation?
They were not just for the tears and sweat. Okay. Looks really more like this. Okay. Now, let's complicate this a little bit. You can have a seat for just a moment. I'm going to get you back up on your toes in just a little bit again. Go to the next page. Now, you don't just go back and forth from arsis thesis. That would, like, make you seasick. Like. Music is more interesting and complex than that. So, these are what are called composite rhythms. So, again, this is when we have just, like, a group of two or a group of three, that's what Makarov calls an elementary rhythm. And when you combine more than one elementary rhythm together, you get a composite rhythm. Okay? So the very first one is the example of what we were just doing, okay? So you see that it's linear, obviously, because it's writing. You can't just, like, make a 3D model and put it on paper. So arsis, thesis, arsis, thesis. But you can have different combinations of arses and theses in a row. Some books say only up to three arses in a row. Some say four, okay? I say four is probably a better, gives you more freedom, because if your choirs are anything like mine, often they need a little more energy than relaxation. So here in the second level, we have one arsis and two theses. So if you were to do two theses in a row, here's the arsis, thesis, thesis. You see my ictus is here, here, and here. You see that? And then when you come back around, if I were to draw this, coming back around can look a couple of different ways. Let's say that it's kind of a less than energetic thing that you have coming after the second thesis, and you might just do this. But if you have a really big vocal gesture following the second thesis, you can really, it's almost like you're doing a karate chop. Like that. See? That's where you get the freedom to move into something. And as with everything in this method, it's not a static sort of thing. That's why I said we're going to come back to the word beat, because we think of beats sort of in an isolated way because of modern music. But in here, everything is interrelated. So just because you start something with energy, start a beat with energy, doesn't mean the following beat is also going to have energy. The following beat might be a relaxation of it, or it might be a continuation of the energy. If you have something that starts with less energy, it doesn't mean that it's going to be less energetic the whole way through. It might have a lot of energy at the end of it going into the next thing. Okay? So, let's stand up again. I just want to give you a little bit of seated time. Let's try each of these. And we're also going to add a rhythmic level to it. So for right now, every group is two. So you have one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two on that very first gesture. Arsis, thesis, arsis, thesis. So if we were to direct it that way, let's go back to one arm directing so that you can hold your music in your left hand if you want. And what you're going to do is one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Good. Let's do it again. What I want you to make sure that you're doing is up on the arsis when you come across your body and relaxation. And even when you say the rhythm, be a little bit louder on the arsis than you are on the thesis. Try it again. Ready? One,
one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
That's it. Good. Can we try the next one? One arsis, two theses. Let's do this pattern four times in a row. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one.
See, you don't even have to think about the dynamics, right? It happens automatically because of the gesture. So let's look at the third gesture here, where you have two arses, two theses. So if you do two arses in a row, here on the paper it looks like the loop is to the right, but actually you're going to go vertical. Okay? So it looks more like this. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Let's try that gesture four times in a row. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two.
Toes.
One, two, one, two.
Heels.
One,
toes.
Two, one, two,
heels.
One, two.
Good. Now, let's do the very next one. We have two RCs and one thesis, but we're going to add something at the beginning of it. We're going to add a breath. If you noticed, I didn't give you any room to breathe. We just kind of plowed in. And how the breath works is, if this is like your, you know, the middle of the figure eight position, all you're going to do is go up and then over. Okay? So your breath is up, and then you begin the gesture and counting. Okay? Don't do for a breath or okay, just straight up. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two.
Good. Let's do it a couple times in a row with the breath. Okay, so we'll just do one iteration of the gesture with a breath preceding it so that you can get the breath in it. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two.
Go back to the resting position with the breath. And a good way to think of the breath is from your wrist. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two.
One more time. From the wrist.
One, two, one, two, one, two.
Good. And you notice that when you have more RCs in a row, it gets more and more intense, right? You'll see that especially on this three RCs one thesis gesture, okay? We're going to start it with the breath, and you're going to make sure it gets more and more intense all the way through. Four times in a row on this gesture. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, one, two, one, two.
Good, good, good. Now, we're going to do it one more time, and what I want you to really feel, again, is that sense of your beat being on this side of your hand, that you're really giving it some resistance, that it's not just flattening out. Melody, you have a
copy. Yeah, copies. Their copy
are
kind of malfunctioned.
Oh! Okay, who needs copies?
Speak somebody to breathe.
I can have mine. Can
you really?
Yes.
I will bring more coffee tomorrow.
Thank you.
Actually, because those are big enough.
Those are
big enough.
Did you get a coffee
now? Big enough swirls.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it's one. I can share.
I can't see it anymore.
Oh.
Okay, now we've got a more complicated gesture, this final one, right? You have two arces, two thesis, one arces, one thesis, one arces, one thesis. And you see that little dotted thing that was kind of like a hint about the breath before. But there, again, since it's a red thing, it goes from left to right, but your breath does not go left to right. It's just up, up. Let's try this one. Everything is a group of two. Ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
Good, now they've got it. Let's do it one more time. See if you can get on your toes, right? You never want to be like this, right? Because then that makes all sort of tension in your singers. But you do want this, right? Especially with your back heel being up. Your front heel doesn't have to be up as much because then you get a little bit more shaky, right? But your back heel for sure should come up. Again, ready?
One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one.
Good. Now that you're still thinking about heels, we're going to do different amounts of breath before. You're going to do, let's do a one beat breath before, and then we'll try it with a two beat breath before, which is actually how this gesture will work rhythmically. We'll talk more about breaths in a little bit.
But let's try it with just a one beat breath. So we'll go
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Good. Now let's try it with the two beat breath. Same thing. Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Good. Have a seat.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Are you looking into like word accents? Because what if you're singing the, you know, the first word, the accent's on the fourth syllable?
It has a relationship to accents, but that's not a primary sort of way in which it's in which it works. And I'll be able to explain that more when we're working in depth with the repertoire tomorrow. So now let's look at this very next page, and you'll see that I make it a little bit more complicated. Instead of everything being a group of two, I've got some twos and threes and all that sorts of stuff in there. So let's try your best seated chironomy. I just don't want you to like peter out on me like halfway through the session. We've got more to do. So let's try this exercise A here, where I have arsis thesis, arsis thesis, arsis thesis, arsis thesis. But the first four are groups of two, and the last four are groups of three. Okay, can we try that? So if you're on your chair doing it, how do you do it? Well, so that you never bend over too much, right? Okay. Think of it more like if you're on a really tall stool, right? That you're sitting towards the front of your chair, and you're fully erect, and just bending really from your legs, not from your abdomen. Can we try this? Ready? With a breath for two. Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Are you guys okay to stand, actually? Okay, I'll have you stand then. This is, it's better.
Which one are we on,
sorry? On the fifth page of the handout, exercise A.
That page.
Yep. You're on the right page, brother. Okay, so let's do it again. You'll notice that when you have a group of three, you have to make the gesture bigger. So it's not just this, it's more like this, right? It has a little bit more height. So that after you make the ictus is at the bottom of the gesture, and then it's got some air time, right? Let's try it again. Ready? Breath. And
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Good. Now, what you really have to watch out for, in addition to having more space in the three gestures, is that on the three arses, that you don't 1, 2, 3, and then you're kind of moving down here, right? So you want to move more at the top of the gesture so that when you get to the bottom, is when your next ictus is. Don't get there sooner. Ready? Breath and
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Good. An additional thing that will help that very problem is that you make sure that you're still giving on beats, or on not beats, but counts 2 and 3, that you're still pushing forward with your feet, instead of going into the backwards heel resting position. One more time. Ready?
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1
Oh, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Okay.
Good. So 3-2-3-2, 2-3-2-3. Still arsthesis, arsthesis. Alternation. Ready? Breath for two. Breath and one,
one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Repeat.
One, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Yeah, that last combination is a little bit weird, right? Like you have fewer counts on the arsis than you do on the thesis. So what you have to feel is like that has a lot of energy and it moves through the gesture really fast, but then it really lets up on the thesis. Can we do that one more time?
One, two, three, one, two,
breath. And
one, two, three, one, two. One, two, three, one, two.
One, two, one, two, three. One, two, one, two, three. Good. How do you stop a piece? You can incorporate gestures you know from modern conducting technique, right? So whenever you're stopping something, you want to just make sure that you're not giving a gesture that makes singers go. Okay? So how I would probably do it here is one, two, three, or one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three. You see I had just a little flick, but my hand didn't close at all. If you have like an S or a consonant at the end, you can give a more closed gesture that you would naturally give in modern conducting technique. There's not really much, I think, that Makaro says about ending a piece. So whatever works well for you and your singer's technique from modern technique, just go ahead and use it. Let's try exercise C. 2-3-3-2, 3-2-2-3. All right. Breath of two. Ready? Breath and one,
one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two.
Repeat.
One, two,
toes, heels, toes, heels, toes, heels, toes, heels. Good. And let's do exercise D. 2-2-3-2, 3-3-2-3. If any of you are math nerds like me, you enjoy making up these exercises. Okay, let's do this. Ready? Breath and
one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two.
Repeat.
One, two, three. One, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two.
More.
One, two, three,
less.
One, two, three.
More.
One, two,
less.
One, two,
and rest. Good. Let's do it one more time, and I want you to incorporate some sort of closing gesture, assuming that you are ending on a vowel. Okay? One more time. Breath and
one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three.
Good. Now, exercise two here, you'll see it's a little more complicated. It has some compounds of the arces. Two arces in a row, two theses in a row, two arces, and then three theses. Can you do it? Let's try it.
Yes.
Exercise two. Two for the breath as well. Ready? Breath and
one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two.
And what I want you to think about this time is how your singers are going to react to your gesture. Are you giving them enough breath support on this edge of it? Are you getting too high, right? Because when you get too high, then people don't take a deep enough breath. They don't sing with diaphragm support. So you have to keep it, even when you're doing multiple arces in a row, don't go higher than like your eyes, okay? That's the upper limit. Try it again. Exercise two. Breath and
one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two,
end. Good. Now, also, when you're doing theses, multiple theses in a row, it doesn't have to go out too far, right? As long as you generally look like you're going to the right, like you don't want it to be. Okay. Let's try that one more time. Breath and
one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two.
Toes, toes, heels, heels, heels. Good. Let's try exercise three. Even more complicated. Again, at the beginning, a two-beat breath. At the end, end on a vowel. Give some sort of gesture. Ready? Breath and
one, two, one, two, three, one, two,
one, two,
three, one, two, one, two, one, two, three, one, two.
Good. One more time. Ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2
like the bridge into real repertoire, where you're sitting there and you're thinking of like, my hand goes this way, right, like, and you're trying to think through it in your mind. So I want you to make up like a theoretical sort of exercise. Remember, for now, don't do more than 3 RCs in a row, or more than 3 theses in a row. But go ahead and make up something in this little box that I've given to you. And what I want you to do is really to imagine how you're going to move without the support of everyone else around you kind of showing you what to do. Okay? Yeah?
I wouldn't mind at some point just showing facing.
Oh, sure, sure.
Just pick one of these.
Sure, yeah, I could do that right now if you would find it helpful. I'll do exercise 3 again. While you're working, you can look at me or not. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. I hadn't thought about that.
It always begins with the R.
Always begins with the arses. Yes, that's a rule that we're going to cover in just a moment when we actually apply it to repertoire. But it always begins with an arses and it always ends with a thesis.
That's a good tip.
Since you like math, I'm expressing the Fibonacci sequence.
Excellent.
Oh wait, I can only go up to 3.
How many will you? Just do one exercise. You don't have to use all those blanks. You can use those later if you want. I just want you to think through it independently.
When you're preparing a piece, do you use a similar procedure?
When I first started, yes. But the more you do it, you can just look at it and know how it goes. Yeah, I had my Gregorian Missal from when I first started directing this, like, about 10 years ago. It's kind of just falling apart because I scribbled in the chronomy and ictus is everywhere. And I would sit on my living room floor just count singing and singing through the solfege and everything. Time and time again, so that I felt like I had something intelligent to say when I got to this solo rehearsal. It took me about 2 years before I had anything interesting to say, so. But in church time, that's like nothing.
And then these exercises always start on arses, but they always end on pieces.
Yes, exactly. Right. All right, so have you thought through the exercise on your own? Let's go to the back page. We're going to actually apply the rules. So, that rule that we just kind of talked about is one of the basic rules. There's an arsis at the beginning of each phrase, which I've outlined here as rule number 1, and a thesis at the end. Okay. We haven't talked too much about incise and member. We'll, be able to talk about that a little bit more when we talk about Makaro's greater rhythm. In the session tomorrow. Arsis at the beginning, thesis at the end. Generally, arsis when the melody goes up, thesis when the melody goes down. But if you have a mountain, for example, like we have in A of Eleison, it doesn't really make sense to do this, right?